as we've done throughout the week, and we'll do so one more time this morning, the news that is being followed in, of course, a lot of the news reports and perhaps being followed by you. We're talking about the Democratic National Convention, the Democratic Convention this week, the Republican Convention next week, and we've taken a little segment out of each morning just to get perspective, especially from Pat and Dave, I turn to, as I am the representation for those who are not paying attention to the convention. That's got a little rhythm to it, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Last night, though, was the big night, as you're hearing in the news reports, that candidate Joe Biden officially became presidential nominee for the Democratic National Party.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was it was a good change to see fireworks after a speech rather than balloons dropping.
Nice. Yeah, the fireworks show. Nice fireworks show.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, he went out after he spoke. He and Jill Biden, his wife, and then Kamala Harris and her husband, they went outside of the – was an arena, right, Dave? Is that what
– that they were in, and then they went outside
to the parking
a stage that was set up outside.
Right.
And they had about 100 cars, people socially distancing in their cars, watching the speech from outside.
Oh. Yeah.
It was like a drive-in theater. It brings back a little nostalgia.
Yeah, it was, because that's what everybody was doing outside. They were watching him on a big screen.
And then they watched the fireworks.
And then they watched fireworks display. So that was a little different.
I guess
prominent speakers that were part of the night last night, if I might ask.
Yeah, there were a number.
Aside from Joe Biden.
Well, they had most of the people that competed against him for the vice presidential nomination were all together on a screen with about seven of them at one time and having a discussion, and they were all very complimentary toward Joe Biden. And,
the old, now that he's our candidate, we're all friends.
Right. Yeah, we're all friends.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then one, they were trying to cover all the angles, but one that they had Michael Bloomberg as one of the speakers. You just heard a cut of him a little earlier this morning, but one of the things he was going after was how while a lot of people look to Trump for his economic leadership, that he went bankrupt six times and recovered from bankruptcy six times, but that he passed a tax that benefited all of the people like me, Bloomberg saying, who is worth $55 billion. And he said, we didn't need it. We don't need it.
Yeah.
And but the thing I wanted to say about this, most of all, without going into the issues one way or the other on the Biden's speech, the majority of people are panicked about getting up in front of a group and speaking publicly. It's even more difficult when you have to overcome a stuttering situation. That aside, I don't know who wrote it, but it was a very well-constructed and written speech, and Biden surprised me with how well he delivered it. I wasn't expecting him to come across that well. That'll be another story when he and Trump get on the same stage in a debate. Don't know what's going to happen there. But as of last night, he stepped up his game much more than I had anticipated. I anticipated all these reports we've been hearing about dementia and things like that. I didn't expect to see the kind of delivery that I saw last night.
Hmm. My take is that nobody will ever confuse Joe Biden with some of the great orators of the last 50 or so years, like Ronald Reagan, for instance. Or a Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. That's just not who he is. Dave, you got JFK too. I don't think anybody would put Joe Biden in that class. But
no,
I've always thought though, the years that I've watched Joe Biden speak, especially in the Senate when he would give speeches, and then as vice president, that he was always the most effective when he was showing empathy and when he would lower his voice a little bit and just slow down. And he could relate to another person's pain. I always thought that's where he was most effective. And last night, I thought he was able to express that.
Yeah,
empathy.
Well, he did it up and down the line in emphasizing the tragedy that he experienced in his life and reeling and the empathy he has for other people who have been through things like school shootings and church shootings and things of that nature.
Right.
I think he did a pretty good job on that. I think they did a good job, or he did a good job. You didn't hear, other than a couple things that he proposed, like global warming, et cetera, some of the things he talked about there. But for the most part, I think he did a good job of avoiding the ties to socialism and extreme left. I think he was pretty much mainstream and appealing to a broad umbrella of people, the way he delivered his remarks and the content that he covered. Again, all night last, I didn't hear any acknowledgement of looters and people that are committing crimes under the pretext of taking over peaceful protests.
I would say that I think that speech last night was not geared towards progressives. It was geared towards the center completely. And that's who the campaign thinks it has to win. They think even though progressives may not be absolutely 100% pleased with his candidacy, they're going to vote for him over Donald Trump. So they think that they're safe there. They're trying to get people from the center.
Yeah, I was going to say, for both parties, the bottom line is, even if your most vocal parts of your party aren't happy with some things that are being talked about, where else are they going to go?
Yeah.
You're going to make that vote.
Right.
It's interesting to hear, too, the way that he came across, because my question would be, and it would be for even when the Republicans come up, the ability to make such a speech effectively when you're doing it in a setting that you are not used to. These guys are used to, and women that stand up in front of crowds, making these speeches.
Yeah.
And sometimes you rely on that feedback that you're getting.
One thing, the
ability to pull it off can take some talent.
It's tricky.
Yeah. One thing that was going on there that I guess people might have made the connection, the hostess, Julia Dreyfus or
whatever. Yeah, Julia Louis Dreyfus, yeah.
She
hostess?
Yeah.
She was
really
a hostess.
Yeah.
And while the one the night before was just, facilitating and moving the show along and everything.
Kerry Washington.
Last night, Dreyfus was working in a lot of zings. So that's the Hollywood left.
She's a comedian.
On stage.
And she was vice president in the show.
Right.
That was, I think, another reason why.
I didn't know they had a hostess. Oh, okay.
Yeah, all throughout the week. Yeah, they had a different host.
Okay. Well, I guess you'd have to have somebody to kind of take
Yeah, Eva Longoria was on Monday, just to kind of keep everything moving along. To have somebody, I think, who knows how to work a camera makes sense.
Well, and that would be an important aspect, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as you're transitioning from one speech to the other, that's what mm-hmm. their job is to do.
There were several efforts to work Bo Biden in, videos of him who died from brain cancer.
Yeah.
And they worked him in a number of different videos through the course of the evening, and including the president, references to him a number of times.
I heard somebody describe it not so much as like a campaign speech. It was almost set up as like an address. I don't know if Dave got that feeling.
It was a little of both. Yeah.
Just because they're like Charlie said, there, it's different because there was no crowd, and he didn't have to wait for applause and, feed some red meat right to the crowd. He treated it, I thought, more as an address.
Yeah. So, I would have to agree with that. There were no stop and pause for the applause lines or things like that. Yeah. And a lot of it was very personal and emotional through the first half and probably the first two-thirds. And then toward the back part of it, he was really hammering away on Trump a little more than I expected. I thought they were letting the other people be the attack dogs, which they had done the night before, et cetera, with Obama. But Biden spent some time himself firing a few shots across the bow.
Well, at some point, he's going to have to, especially when debates come along.
Yeah,
of course, yeah. But this was a different, unconventional convention, as many have been saying, and that will continue next week with the RNC. And for the first time, a sitting president will give his acceptance speech in front of the White House.
Yeah, that's right. Because
did you hear they're having the funeral for his brother at the White House?
Oh, for his brother passed away last week? Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
no, I did not hear
it's,
that.
It's okay. on our website this morning.
Oh. Well,
I must have missed it. Should I pay attention to our website?
I do, too. I'll go on there.
It is the 651 on WSJW. Just some thoughts, and of course, thoughts that are expressed, too, more importantly by you, our loyal listeners, especially when you have a chance to on our talk shows with Art Lewis later on in the day on WSGW. as the political season, of course, is very much focused with the presidential election just several months away.